Good morning and welcome to Simply Politics from China. It's Saturday, March 23rd. On today's show, Yuan Bin questions whether the Chinese Communist Party is banning Twitter bullying. Plus, the three kingdoms of China, Russia, and Iran have become a reality on the sea. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Politics from China. We start off with a significant development in the U.S. House of Representatives, which has passed a bill to divest from TikTok, a move that has sparked a strong reaction from China. The bill, now awaiting Senate approval, has been championed by House Speaker Mike Johnson, who describes Communist China as America's greatest geopolitical adversary. He argues that apps like TikTok allow the Chinese Communist Party to push harmful content to young Americans and engage in malicious activities, such as collecting data on Americans' locations, purchasing habits, contacts, and sensitive data. Abby, our correspondent from Simply Politics from China, is here to discuss this further. Can you tell us more about the reactions to this bill?
Certainly, David. The bill's passage in the House has been met with strong opposition from China. Just a day before the House considered the bill, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin accused the U.S. of bullying behavior, saying that the U.S. had failed to find evidence that TikTok posed a threat to national security. He argued that the U.S. was damaging normal business activities, international investor confidence, and the international trade order, and that this would ultimately backfire on the U.S.
And how has TikTok responded to these allegations of posing a threat to U.S. national security?
TikTok has assured U.S. regulators that it has isolated the data of its 150 million American users from its Chinese parent company. TikTok CEO Shouzi Chu has stated that the company is committed to ensuring data security and that the platform is not manipulated by external forces. However, a report by the Wall Street Journal in January revealed that TikTok still has many vulnerabilities, with U.S. TikTok managers instructing employees to share user data with employees of China's ByteDance through informal channels.
What about the allegations of content manipulation on TikTok?
There have been reports that TikTok has censored content considered politically sensitive, including footage of the Tiananmen Square incident and content related to Tibetan independence. The Washington Post has further reported that Chinese back-end managers have the final say on whether a video can be published.
So how does China justify its criticism of the U.S. for banning TikTok, given that it has banned American tech giants like Google, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram?
That's a good question, David. It's clear that both democratic and authoritarian countries place a high priority on protecting their national security, albeit for different reasons. China's ban on American tech giants has been largely driven by fears that these platforms could undermine its control over public discourse and weaken its rule. By the same logic, the U.S. has every right to ban TikTok to protect its own national security. However, Wang Wenbin's argument that the U.S. is standing against the principles of fair competition and international trade rules by banning TikTok, while China's ban on American tech giants does not, is a clear example of double standards.
Thanks for that insightful analysis, Abby. In other news, China, Russia, and Iran are reportedly forming a new alliance in the northern Indian Ocean. The three nations' warships are conducting a joint naval exercise in the Gulf of Oman, codenamed Security Belt. Bella, our correspondent for Simply Politics from China, is here to provide more insight. Can you tell us more about this exercise and its significance?
Certainly, David. The exercise has been ongoing since 2018, but it's particularly significant for Russia in the current context of the Russo-Ukrainian conflict. Russia's closeness with Iran is also seen in the backdrop of the establishment of the North-South Transport Corridor. The Russian Pacific Fleet's command ship, the Varyag missile cruiser, and the Marshal Shaposhnikov frigate are participating in the exercise.
And what about China and Iran's involvement?
China has sent six vessels, including the Urumqi destroyer, to participate in the exercise. The military exercise includes combating piracy, hostage rescue, and maintaining communication between vessels using light signals. At the same time, special forces from China and Iran are participating in anti-piracy exercises. China emphasizes that the joint exercise aims to jointly maintain maritime security in the region.
What's the reaction to the situation in the Red Sea?
China has vessels at its military base in Djibouti, but has not formally condemned the Houthi attacks. It has only called on Iran to exert pressure. Western media claim that China's exports to Europe through the Suez Canal have mitigated the impact of the Houthi attacks.
What is the real significance of these exercises?
The joint military exercises by the navies of Russia, Iran, and China demonstrate the strengthening of maritime cooperation among these three countries. This is particularly important as the Red Sea has become a new battlefield between Iran and the Western coalition. Therefore, incorporating anti-piracy activities into this joint exercise is seen as a way to divert media attention from the real significance of the exercise.
And what about the strategic closeness between these three countries?
Apart from the strategic closeness among these three countries, Russia, which previously relied on Europe for trade, is paving new paths to circumvent the restrictions it faces. This includes a railway line through Azerbaijan and Iran to a port in Iran not far from the Indian city of Mumbai. This route is expected to reduce travel time between Russia and the Gulf ports and Mumbai by 25% to 30% and is expected to be completed by 2028. Given the Russo-Ukrainian conflict and the situation in the Red Sea, this route has become a lifeline for Russia and Iran.
That was Simply Politics from China reporter Bella. Thank you for the insights. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Politics from China. We'll see you back here tomorrow.